keep it short and sweet, and she made me choke on my water. She also told me not to make the joke about packing your lunch, so I won't make that joke either. But I don't get to speak as much these days, so I feel like I have to get my money's worth when I'm up here. So I'm excited to be here. Thank you for being here today. Welcome, guests. My name is Matt. Can you hear me all right with this thing? I've been messing with this earpiece all morning. It is jacked for some reason, so I had to do some... It's been a while. So anyway, before I even get started, I have to make an announcement before I forget. Easter eggs. It's that time of the year again. So bring in Easter eggs pre-filled with candy, please. All right? So make it a little family project. Last year we had like a little Trammel assembly line. And so it'd be nice if you'd like put tape, like put a little piece of tape on your eggs so they don't break open and candy flies all over the place. So start bringing those eggs in and you can drop them off at the Welcome Center. Okay? So I did a good job. Eggs. Okay. I am Matt. I am the youth pastor here. And so if you were here expecting Danny, you can come back next week. So I apologize if I let you down. So it's, I love seeing you guys. But I got to get going because we got a lot to cover today. We're going over a topic. It was spring ahead. And this is bonus material, so this is free. I'm not going to charge you at all for this. But do you know why we have that? The spring ahead, fall back. Do you have any idea? So this is free. But Benjamin Franklin is actually the first one that thought about that because it would save on candles, right? And so he wanted to conserve the candles. And it didn't really take too much hold. And then we had some world wars, 1918, they started it. Then they repealed it. The daylight savings time, and then in World War II, they brought it back again for the energy crisis, and it's kind of been back and forth. Anyway, I just thought that was kind of interesting. It was kind of an energy thing, and Arizona and Hawaii actually did not adopt the policy, so they don't do it. And then I just talked to my mom yesterday, and I guess Florida just passed something that they're not going to do it anymore either because they like their sunshine. So anyway, nothing to do at all with what I'm talking about today. But I just thought that was interesting because I was doing some research on it. So, but welcome to church. There's no better place that you could be than right here, right now at Cook Road Baptist Church. So thank you for being here. Let me pray and we'll get started. God, thank you for this day. Each and every time that I get the opportunity to be on the stage and preach your word, it is an honor. So I'll be with the ones here today and the ones that couldn't be here. Just allow this message to impact. Just if it's just one life, then it'll be worth it. We do love you. Thank you for how good you are to us. And thank you for your sacrifice. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. So my title for today is Time is Not on Your Side. So there's a Rolling Stones song that says time is on your side. And it was funny because Zelma, our little secretary Zelma, the little lady that you see running around here, where's Zelma at? Is she in here? No? She might be back in the back. Anyway, she's like, hey, Matt, what's your title for today? And I said, time is not on your side. And I'm like, yeah, there's a song. And she's like, yeah, Rolling Stones. And she starts singing it. Zelma, how do you know that song? Listening to devil music, the Rolling Stones, out of Zelma Hart. So give her a hard time, listening to Rolling Stones. I was like, wow, that was weird, man. So she starts singing it to me, and I'm like, this is crazy. So time is not on your side. So I'm going against the song of Rolling Stones. And today I want you to consider recalibrating how you view your time and in your life, how you spend your time. Because the moment that creation began, since the dawn of time, how people have spent their time is very, very important. Time is very important in our culture. It has been since God said, let there be light. Time has been important to human beings. Eve spent some of her time talking to a snake, right? Noah spent some of his time building a boat that he got mocked for to, you know, keep the human beings alive during the flood. Roman emperors throughout time have spent their time conquering different lands. And we had a guy named Jesus that we follow. We follow here at this church. We want to be as much like this individual as possible. Jesus spent his time, okay, teaching and preaching and performing miracles. And then at the end of his life, Jesus spent some time on a cross for me. And after 3 days' time, Jesus arose from the grave after defeating death so that you and I could be okay in the eyes of God. So Jesus died for me, spent his time on the cross for me, 3 days in the grave, and then he arose for me. That's the good news. So I want to give you some interesting facts about time. I gave some of these to Annie, and she's like, that was the dumbest thing I've ever heard. So some of you will enjoy these. Like, I love useless facts. So let me just put a disclaimer out there that if you're ever on a trivia show, right, and you're like for the $1 million question, and one of these is the answer, okay, and you know it because of this, of Matt's useless facts, that you have to give the church, like, a cut, okay? That's all. That's our agreement. So if you ever use these, just, or you could donate to the Trammell Foundation of 15 kids that I have. All right. So some facts about time that I find interesting. I hope you do as well. Time passes faster for your head than for your feet, assuming you're standing up. Einstein's theory of relativity dictates that the closer you are to the center of the earth, the slower time goes. So your feet obviously are closer to the center of the earth. This has been measured, okay? This is a measurable amount of time. And so at the top of Mount Everest, a year would be about 15 microseconds shorter than at sea level. So not a whole lot of time difference, but interesting anyway. Annie's like, that was dumb. Okay, number two. A second isn't what you think it is. Okay, so I asked Annie, I'm like, what's a second? She's like, what kind of question is that? I'm like, give me the scientific definition of a second. She's like, okay, no. And so, but if I were to define it, I would say it's 1/60th of a minute, right? That's a second. It's just 60 seconds make a minute. Okay, but this is the scientific definition. Are you ready? The duration, this is what a second is. The duration of 9,192,631,770 periods of the radiation corresponding to the transition between the two hyperfine levels of the ground state of the cesium-133 atom. That is the definition of a second. Annie looked at me and she goes, why did you just say that to me? That means nothing. That's going to give nobody, like, people laugh. See, that was good. I found that to be, so if anybody asks you what, just give me a second, just be like, you want me to give you a, whatever I just said. Definition of a second. What you think of a day, okay, how long it takes the earth to rotate, isn't 24 hours. It's actually 23 hours, 56 minutes, and 4.2 seconds. The reason it's 24 hours from sunrise to sunset is because every day the earth moves further in its orbit around the sun and it changes its position, lengthens the day slightly. Number four, the smallest standard scientific measure of time is the Planck time, named after a German guy, P-L-A-N-C-K, right? It takes you about 550,000 trillion Planck times to blink once. Is that not interesting to you? How do you measure 550,000 trillion Planck times? Anyway, number five. On Mercury, a day is 2 years long. One day is 2 years. Number six, because light takes time to reach us, everything we see is in the past. The sun you can see out of the window is 8 minutes and 20 seconds old. The light from our nearest star, Proxima Centauri, is 4 years old. So when you're looking up at the night sky tonight and you see the light from the star, know that the earliest one, right, on time is 4 hours old. The most accurate clock ever built is the Strontium clock, which is accurate to within a second over 15 billion years. Now, I'm not sure how they measured that, but that's a very accurate clock. So anyway, what all those mean? They don't really mean anything other than I wanted to give you some parameters on time and how time is such a crazy thing. See, time that we have It does not discriminate. It does not favor anyone. It doesn't matter how rich you are or how poor you are. You can't buy more of it. You can't barter for time. Time is just, it's time. There's countless movies and books that talk about immortality, and you have vampires that don't die, and you have all of these, you know, Ponce de Leon, the explorers that sought for the fountain of youth. You have people that are always trying to reverse time with Botox and surgeries, and we're always trying to manipulate time. But absolutely no matter what, no matter if it's war or if it's peace, no matter what's going on, I'm here to tell you, as sure as I'm standing on this stage, that time will always march on. King James says, and it came to pass. Right? Time is always moving, no matter how important you are, no matter who you are, you're standing in the world. When you die, guess what? Time is going to keep going. And so we find ourselves eternal slaves to time. We all have appointments, we have jobs, we have games, we have schedules, we have classes, practices, meals, your calendar. All of this is based on time. And if you're anything like me, there never seems to be enough of it. And the time that I do have seems to go entirely too fast. I tell my teenagers that they're going to be 34 before they know it. And then I have older people than me. They look at me and they say, Matt, you're going to be my age before you know it. Enjoy every second with your babies. They're going to be grown up. They're going to be gone before you know it. I look in the mirror and I can't believe that I'm 34 years old. I have gray in my beard, which is just wisdom that just cannot help but sprout its wings. So I have gray, and I look at myself and I see my oldest is almost a decade old. Abraham is almost 10 years old, and it literally feels like I took him home from the hospital yesterday. Annie had this kid. We had no idea what we were doing. And then they just give us this life. And they're like, here you go. I'm like, do I need to take a class? Like, I did more to, like, sign a lease for my house. Like, what? You just gave me a human being. But I felt like I just brought him home yesterday. And he's almost 10. But the truth is that each and every one of us have the exact amount of time every single day that we have. You have the same 24 hours that I have. That's 1,440 minutes. That's 86,400 seconds. There's 525,600 minutes in a year. That's 31,557,600 seconds in a year. How are you spending those days, those hours, those minutes, those seconds? Here's some interesting facts on how the average Joe spends their time. Ready? These are kind of funny. Given that on average a person sleeps for 8 hours a day. Again, these are averages. So some of you don't sleep 8 hours a day. Some of you sleep 4 and some of you sleep 12. Right? That means that an average person will sleep 229,961 hours in their lifetime, or basically one-third of their life. An average American spends 67 minutes per day eating and drinking. That's an average of 32,098 hours eating and drinking in your lifetime. Some of you spend more time than that eating. Right? A pound of bacon takes a long time to fry up. I don't know if that counts on my time, but it sure is good. According to a study by the Harvard Health Watch, an average American spends 101 minutes per day driving. That works out to be about 37,935 hours driving in a car. If the average person works 40 hours a week from the age of 20 to 65 and gets 2 weeks of vacation every year, they will have worked a total of 90,360 hours just working. On average, you'll spend 10 years of your life watching TV, 8 years of your life on social media, 2 years grooming yourself, and 8 months doing laundry. The average millennial, get this one, the average millennial spends almost their entire day consuming some form of media. Literally their entire, however, they're awake. So if you go into, any kind of, go to like Starbucks or some kind of, where there's a lot of millennials that are hanging out, right, with their man buns and their skinny jeans and their V-necks. Just waiting to be that next millionaire. Like, you got to move out of your parents' basement first. But anyway, that was mean, sorry. The average millennial spends almost their entire day. So they'll have their laptop out, and then they'll have their cell phone in this hand, and then they'll have, like watching TV. So they're always consuming some kind of media, multiple forms at once. For an older generation, this concept is completely foreign. The average millennial checks his or her smartphone at least 75 times a day and spends over 5 hours a day on social media. 5 hours every single day. That's the average that a millennial spends on their phone. Now, in that list, there are some things that are necessary. You have to eat. You have to sleep. You have to work, right? So there's some things on that list of how we spend our time that are very necessary. There's no getting around it. But there's several things on that list and in your life that you're spending time on that is incredibly unnecessary. And so I pose the question, are you a good manager of your time? The Bible has a lot to say about how you use your time. And let me just give you just a little bit of honesty. Okay, I like it when people say, do you want me to be honest? I'm like, no, I want you to lie to me. But let me just be honest with you for just let me be real with you very quickly. It's March, okay? So this is the third month into 2018. And if we were to put your church attendance aside, okay, so the minutes and the hours and the seconds of when you're at church, put those over here, okay? Outside of that, there are several, if not many, in this room that have spent literally 0 hours or close to 0 hours expanding the kingdom of God. Outside of your church attendance. Listen, folks, you showing up on Sunday or on Wednesday, those are good things, right? We're supposed to fellowship with one another. But you being in this building for however long you're in this building per week, that doesn't make you a Christian. It's a part of it, and it's good to be here and good to be fellowshipping and encouraging one another. But what should mark your life as a Christian is your Monday through Saturday. And the things that you're investing your time in, the ones that have eternal consequences, like the kingdom of God, some of us in our third month in 2018 have used no time or close to no time expanding that kingdom. Last year, how many hours did you spend talking to lost people? Spreading the good news of Jesus Christ. How many hours did you spend in prayer? Hours. How many hours reading and applying scripture? Our time, the minutes and the seconds and the hours that you get, is at the top of the list of things that we are to give back to God. He woke you up today because he's not done with you yet. Are you pursuing your divine purpose here on earth, or are you finding yourself being consumed with things that really don't matter? I talk to friends that can... Anybody guilty here of binge watching on Netflix? Y'all know Netflix? So Netflix is something to where you have, you know, different TV shows and different series. And literally, it's the devil, they invented it. But it has, at the end of each episode, it'll say, next episode starting in 5, 4... And you can't, you're like, okay, I just got to watch the next episode. Like, it's like peer pressure. Like, you see this countdown and you're like, oh, okay, I'll just watch it. And so we can binge watch a series on Netflix for 8 hours without even going to the bathroom, without even blinking an eye. You don't care about eating, sleeping. Like, I got to finish this series. Don't wait, talk to me. You're just like in a little cave, like, just got your, skip the intro. I don't want to watch the intro. Y'all that watch Netflix know what I'm talking about. So we can do that and not even think about our time and how we're using our time watching The Office or whatever it is that you binge watch. Yet to fathom reading your Bible for 5 hours in a day? The average millennial spends 5 hours on social media. To imagine reading your Bible, sitting down, reading, applying, memorizing scripture for 5 hours at a time is absolutely, for the most spiritual person, is inconceivable. My question is why? And what's the excuse that we hear as pastors most often? What do we hear of why we don't have time to do these things? Pastor, listen, brother, we just don't have enough time. We're involved in this. We're involved in this club. We've got to go here. I'm a parental taxi cab. We don't have enough time. Our schedule is full. Listen to me very carefully, church. The world will give you plenty of things to do to fill your calendar. The world will always find things for you to get involved in. This is so that you will be rendered absolutely useless for plans that God has for you and consequences that have eternal consequences. We can get so wrapped up in our schedule and our time, and I have to be here and I have to be there, to where we find at the end of the day, what did we really get accomplished? We meet people every single day. You have a sphere of influence. I tell my teenagers, every day you have this sphere of influence in your high schools and your junior highs of people that I will never have contact with. Are you using your time to invest in them and to show them Jesus every single day? God might have put you in their life to be the only, you might be the only Jesus that they ever see. You might be the only person that cares about them enough to tell them about Jesus, but it's going to take time. Our church is starting to launch a discipleship program, and stay tuned for that. You'll hear more about it in the coming months, but discipleship takes time. And our busy schedules are not conducive for me to sit down with you at two-hour chunks, and sit down and discuss scripture, discuss things of God. Our lives aren't conducive to that, and it's very, very difficult. But the great commandment, right, the great commission, is to go and make disciples. So it's important for people to get saved and accept Jesus. That's obviously incredibly important, but what's after that? Because we have a lot of people that are under the impression that, okay, I got saved, I'm not going to hell anymore, I believe in Jesus, but then it stops there. And so for the next 40 years, you're showing up to church and you might be volunteering for stuff, but your spiritual maturity, the discipleship part, is lacking. So we're going to really hammer down on that, but listen, it's going to take time. It's going to take an investment of your time and some other things, right? You might have to cut out a couple episodes so that you can make time to meet with whoever you're discipling or is discipling you. But enough of what Matt has to say about Scripture. I want to get into about time, not Scripture. I want to talk to you about what Scripture says when it comes to our time. See, when we were kids and teenagers, we felt like time was just, it was always going to be. Like, we have forever to live. I can jump off of this and be fine. I'll heal. Like, we have this eternal, I'm just going to live forever. But see, our lives are significantly shorter than we think. In Psalm 39, 4 through 5, it says this. David says, "Lord, remind me how brief my time on earth will be. Remind me that my days are numbered, how fleeting my life is. You have made my life no longer than the width of my hand. My entire lifetime is just a moment to you. At best, each of us is but a breath." See, David in this scripture, he is praying to know his end, about how fleeting life is, and to really know and understand that concept. Not just to read the scripture and say, oh, that's a good point, like life is short. But life is not only short, it can change in an instant. You are one phone call away from your entire life being different. You are one trip home. You are one car accident. You are one whatever it might be, fill in the blank. We know how crazy life is. You are one instance from your life being forever changed. How are you capitalizing on each and every moment that you have? Or are you wasting time? To really understand this concept, it's going to protect you from wasting your life on things that really don't matter at all. The level that I get on Candy Crush, guess what? Eternally, matters. Like, I get negative points on how much that matters. James echoes this same concept in James 4:14. Says this: how do you know what your life will be like tomorrow? Your life is like the morning fog. It's here for a little while, and then it's gone. See, our time on earth, what we think, whether we get 20 years or 80 years or 100 years, is not even like, in the scope of eternity, is not even a blip on the eternal radar screen. My call for you this morning is to not waste your life and to realize that your time is so precious. Every second matters. And there's people in this room that feel like they have all the time in the world, and there's some people that feel like they don't have enough time. Wherever you're at in your life, in your busyness, please keep your priorities in line. Moses says this in Psalm 90:12. Teach us to realize the brevity of life so that we may grow in wisdom. Vocab word of the day, brevity. You know what brevity means? It's a shortness of time. So teach us to realize the shortness of my life. That what I do each and every day has eternal consequences. Some of us wake up and we can't wait for this day to be over, or you spend your life looking forward to the next thing. I want you to stop, take a deep breath, look around. Last night I went outside and I looked at the stars. I had to go close the garage door and I just looked up and I just took a second on purpose to just look up and say, daggone it, like, how often do I just appreciate nature? I'm not like a huge nature guy, tree hugger, but like, I just looked up at the stars. I'm like, those look really bright, and I'm looking at 4 hour long, that's 4 hours old. My fun facts, you remember those? But just to take a second and just appreciate what I have. I have a beautiful wife. I have 4 beautiful kids. I have a house. I have a church that loves me and takes care of my family. A job that I love. I am blessed. And each moment of life that I have, I can never take it for granted. I want to show you a video. I would tell you the illustration, but when I can't do it better than the person that I saw it from, I'm just going to show you this video. So check this video out real quick and appreciate.
Oh, man, what time am I going to look forward to at the end? I'm going to bring an illustration that this is like the first illustration I did. It was 20 years ago, but I can't think of a better way to explain it. I actually didn't use a rope back then. I used remember computer paper when it was all stuck together? And then had the holes on the side that you had to peel off. Remember that? I remember getting a roll, and some of you guys have no idea what I'm talking about, which is crazy to me. But, because that was the best, you know? And it never worked right because of the rolling things. But I remember being a youth pastor, and I put that computer paper all the way around the room. But I'm going to use a rope now because I can't find that computer paper. Imagine this rope. Okay, pretend this rope just goes on forever, okay? Just imagination. Pretend it goes around the world a few times. It doesn't. It ends at the rock. But let's just imagine this thing goes on forever. Now, imagine that this rope is a timeline of your existence. You just exist forever. You see this red part? This would represent your time on Earth. You've got a few short years here on earth, and then you've got all of eternity somewhere else. This is your existence. And what blows me away is some of you, all you think about is this red part. It's all you think about. You're consumed with this. You go, oh man, I can't wait till here. You know, I'm going to work hard. I'm going to save so I can really enjoy this part right here. And you're consumed with that. And you're thinking, oh man, am I going to get to travel? Am I going to eat well? Am I going to do this during this part? And I'm like, are you kidding me? What about this? What about this? What about what about all this stuff? It's crazy to me because the Bible teaches that what I do during this little red part determines how I'm going to exist for millions and millions and millions of years forever. And so why would I spend this little red part trying to make myself as comfortable as possible, enjoying myself as much as I can? Paul says, look, I'm going to live my life for this mission. I'm going to spend my life, invest my life for this moment when I cross that finish line. See, I'm going to forget about all this stuff I could enjoy, and I'm not going to look around. I'm going to be like a runner just looking at that moment when I face God, because when I face him, then I don't get this chance over again. We get one chance at this life on earth, and it can end at any second for any of us. We've got one chance at this, and then comes eternity. And I'm not going to be fooled. I'm not going to spend my life down here. See, people look at some of my decisions and go, oh, you're so stupid because that's going to really affect this. I go, no, you're stupid because it's going to affect all of this. Man, I'm serious. I look at the way people live and I go, wow, that is so crazy. You are so crazy. You're going to do that right now, just to enjoy right now, not even knowing if you have tomorrow, and you think that's smart and that I'm dumb, it doesn't make any sense. Paul goes, I'm not going to look around at all this stuff. And it's tempting. It's tempting to all of us. That's what I'm saying. Down here, it's crazy because everyone lives that way. Everyone lives for the red part. No one's thinking about the millions of years afterwards. It's just this crazy deception that we can't get out of our minds. And Paul goes, I'm not doing that. Because I keep my eyes on that. I keep my eyes on that finish line. And I'm going to forget what's behind me. I'm not looking around. I'm straining. Because I'm straining forward. I'm like stretching forward for that mark. I'm going to pass this thing. I'm going to live this out. And I'm going to face him. I'm going to come before the judges. And he's going to hand me that trophy. He goes, I'm going to get it. And I haven't gotten there yet. He goes, but you better believe I'm using every muscle, exerting every bit about me. Because I'm going to pass that line well.
A good way to gain wisdom is to learn to live each and every day with an eternal perspective. Knowing that one day we will give an account to the one who gives us the time, we're going to give an account for that. And that should be motivation for us to use our time well. C.S. Lewis is quoted as saying this, brilliant man, says this, if you read history, you will find that the Christians who did the most for the present world were just those who thought most of the next. Ephesians 5, 15 and 16 says this. This is Paul's letter to the Ephesians, verse 15. So be careful how you live. Don't live like fools, but like those who are wise. Make the most of every opportunity in these evil days. So the thought when it says make the most out of every opportunity, this phrase literally translates in the Greek from, it means redeem. Redeem. See, some of you are couponers, right? So you cut out coupons, gift cards. If I let those expire and I don't redeem those, they don't do me a lot of good, right? If I have a coupon and I go to redeem it and they actually, sometimes you just hope maybe they're not going to look at the expiration date. You guys do that? Sinners. You know that's expired. But if it's expired, they hand it back to you and say, this is no good anymore. Listen to me, church. Some of you are closer to others to expiring. Someday you're going to expire. How are you redeeming the time that you have right now? See, that redemption, the redeeming process, that's a proactive statement to Christians, commanding them to take advantage of every opportunity to do good for the one that died for us. Those are the eternal consequences, the things that when we get to heaven, those are the things that are going to matter. Redeem every moment. Living wisely means using our time carefully. We have to keep in mind that the workers, we don't have enough workers, not just in our church. Listen, we need workers in our church. But worldwide, the harvest is great. I walk around every day and my heart breaks for lost people. Church, if you're walking around your every day and your heart is not burdened for the lost and dying world that's going to hell, you need to check your ticket. You're not making a fire because your wood's wet. Something internally, you have a heart issue. If you don't look at the world around you, when I go to the YMCA, when I go to one of Abe's baseball games, when I'm driving and I'm burdened for lost people. And time is short. We can look around. We can read scripture. I know the world's always been crazy, but it seems like we just continue to invent ways of just wrecking our lives. In the past year and a half of my life, I've had 14 friends get divorced. We're seeing a breakdown in our families. We're seeing sexual immorality that is running rampant. Those two things will be the downfall of our nation. I promise you. Write it down. Where is our sense of urgency? Where is our sense of urgency in time, this little time that we have? Where is our sense of urgency for a world that is dying and going to hell? You will spend eternity in one of two places. I don't say that to be mean. I didn't make it up. Scripture says that you're going to go to one of two places after your time has expired here on earth. That little red part. There's thousands and millions of people going to hell every day. Every second, someone dies. Every second. How are we using our time to help that person? To expand the gospel? That person at work that you know does not have Jesus? That person at school that you know that does not know Jesus? And how are you using your time to maybe change their mind of how they feel about Jesus? Or are they looking at your life and saying, wow, they say they're a Christian? I'm good. Let me just continue to do whatever I want because it seems to be what they're doing anyway. How are you investing your time? I'm going to close with this verse. This is in 1 Corinthians 3:14-15. It says this, if the work survives, that builder will receive a reward. But if the work is burned up, the builder will suffer great loss. The builder will be saved, but like someone barely escaping through a wall of flames. Listen, church, as I said earlier, the world will give you plenty of things to do. If Satan can throw you off of your divine purpose that God has laid out for you, if he can render you ineffective, then he's got you exactly where he needs you. Listen, I believe that there's a lot of people in this room that are saved. So you're the builder, and you're building these works, and you're building this life for yourself and your family here on earth. But then when you get to heaven, there's going to be a test period to where God looks at you, and you're standing before your Creator, and you're going through your life, the minutes and seconds and hours. Pray that you're not behind me, because him and I have some things to talk about. And he's got some things to talk about with me. But we're going to give an account for the things that we've done. And all the things that I've built here on earth, it's going to be tested with fire. And only the things that had eternal consequences, the lives that I had the opportunity to reach, the people that I had the opportunity to lead to Jesus, those are going to be the things that I'm going to get a reward for that. You're going to get a reward if you are faithful and you do what you're supposed to be doing here on earth. Can you imagine seeing someone in heaven that you had the personal opportunity to sit down and lead them to Christ? The joy that you'll feel, how proud Jesus will be of you to say, hey, look at this busload that you brought with you. Or will it be on the other side to say, I gave you all these minutes and seconds and hours and plank times, and you didn't do anything. I gave you this time. I gave you these gifts. I gave you these resources, and you wasted it. We're going to be judged according to what we do in this life. The time that is given to us, we cannot waste it. The realization of our rewards and what eternity is going to look like, and we have finite minds, so we're not really programmed to understand things that are infinite. And so it can get pretty heavy. But how are you going to use your time from now on? You have, again, this is kind of a recalibration message, nothing deep theologically, but just sometimes we just need to check ourselves and really look around and see what are we really doing. What are we really doing for Jesus? Because in the end, that's all that matters. I don't care what your job is. I don't care what your car is. None of those things matter when you get to heaven. What you do for the kingdom of God is all that's going to matter. Now, again, there's necessary things that we have to be doing. You have to work. You have to. But my goal for you today is to look at your life. And the next time you want to binge watch, think, man, 3 hours of whatever show, or, you know, an hour, 30 minutes of doing a devotion with my wife, sitting my kids down and talking to them about whatever, time. We can't buy more. We only have a certain amount of time. The way you spent your time in 2017 doesn't have to be the way that you spend your time in 2018 and beyond. So as the praise team comes to do the invitation, if you don't hear anything else, hear this. I want you to live every moment like it matters, because in the scope of eternity, right, every second matters. And so if you call yourself a Christ follower, you have a responsibility to do certain things. So yes, you're saved. Yes, you're on your way to heaven. But once you get there, and that's really all that has happened, your spiritual maturity stopped at that prayer. You're wasting your time. Just like the builder, those things are going to be burned up, and you're going to be devastated. And so when you hear messages like this, I want you to be encouraged to say, you know what? God has given me this time. I was born right now. I am in 2018 right now for a very specific purpose. Are you reaching that? Are you reaching your potential? So as you stand, we're just going to have a moment of response. Just go ahead and stand. The praise and worship team is going to start to sing here in a second. But as Christ followers, talking to you first, it's time to go. It's time to put Cook Road Baptist Church on the map. We've been in this community for 60 years. But from now on, right, we're setting a different standard here. We want people to know who we are. The more people we can bring in those doors, the more people are going to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ, period. The more people we can bring in those doors, the more we can disciple and send out into a world that is dying. That's my goal for you. This is a training ground here. This is where we go. It's like a big pep rally. And we send you out and you say, wow, I know this person that's unsaved. I know this person that needs encouragement. I need this person that's going through this. And you're the difference maker. That's our goal here. If you're here today and you do not know Jesus Christ as your Savior, you think of your time here on earth and you say, there's never been a time that I have confessed to Jesus that I need you as a Savior. Come into my life. I'm jacked up. I'm a sinner. I need you to come into my life and save me. If you haven't had that moment in time, right? It's not being a good person. It's not coming to church. It's not any of those things. It's faith in Jesus Christ, making Him the Lord of your life. If you have not had that opportunity, let today be the day. We know time is short, but we also know that time can change in an instant. So don't say, "Oh, I'll wait until I'll take Jesus more seriously when I get more stable." No. You don't have that time to waste. So if you're here today and you don't know Jesus Christ, find somebody. You can come up here. We have people that will pray with you. Find me after service. There is nothing in the world I would rather do than show you Jesus Christ. That's why we're here. So as they sing, if you need to respond, this is the time.